Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We're concluding the series this morning, Extraordinarily Normal. We've gone through a variety of Bible characters, showing you a common thread through every one of them. They were normal people. God simply uses normal people. People with problems. People with stuff in their background. People with some nuts in their family tree. Can anyone say amen? Hopefully you're not the nut in the tree, but you know, come on. Now let's be honest. I mean, if God, because again, our mindset is very often, and we end up disqualifying ourselves for God truly being able to use us, is we think, well, God really couldn't use me yet. Can I tell you that yet will turn into a month, into a year, into a decade. It will turn into the rest of your life if you don't deal with that lie. God uses everyday normal people with everyday normal problems. He doesn't wait until, quote, you're perfect before he can use you, because if that's the case, no one ever would be used of God. So we see that thread running throughout the Bible. Now, God was so committed to this normalcy issue. Think about it. He came as a man to redeem us. Jesus came as all man and all God. And, you know, when you really think about it, Jesus was about as normal as they get. In fact, Isaiah prophesying about him said there was nothing about him that we would desire him. There was no great comeliness about him, no great beauty about him. He lived under the radar for 30 years. Listen, as God in the flesh. Now, his birth was miraculous. The only story we're ever told about Jesus prior to being 30 years old was simply that he was in the temple one time and messed up his parents' weekend. You remember they left town and they'd come for Passover and Jesus stuck around. And they had a bunch, you know, they had many other children after Jesus. Joseph and Mary did. The Bible said so. And when they left, they thought the oldest kid would follow along. He stuck around. They went back to find him. 3 days, he's gone. Now, you know, Mary and Joseph are frantic. They finally find him and said, well, what are you doing this for? What did you do this to us? That's the only hint we have into their life. When Jesus said, don't you know, I must be about my Father's business. And the Bible said Mary didn't understand what he said, but she kept it to herself. Well, you know, it'd be tough raising the Son of God, don't you think? And there's nothing said about Jesus, nothing about his life before the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he was the son of a carpenter. His trade was a carpenter. Think about it. There were people eating on a table God made for them. Think about Jesus showing up at your house, bringing you a table. And never letting you know who he is. He lived completely under the radar. Now, he never sinned, but he didn't. You know, if you think of the religious view of Jesus, you see a halo following everywhere he went. And when he would walk in the room, you'd hear the hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah! Ha! Didn't happen. He just walked as a normal man. Do you know it was so clear so that when it did happen, when the Holy Spirit did come upon him, when he did step into his mission, do you know what they said about him? They said, who's this? This is Mary and Joseph's kid. He's from Nazareth. Nothing good can come from Nazareth. I know his mother. His father's a carpenter. We know his brothers and his sisters. Who's he? And even Jesus himself, all God and all man. Even Jesus walked in such a way as that people simply integrated with his life. See, that's a part of Jesus that very few people really think about. But listen to what the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 about him. And God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Everybody say out loud, the man Jesus. See, he was the man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for many. God sent Jesus in order to redeem the people that he loved. You see, you don't buy something, you don't redeem something that you don't love. And the fact of it is, to the degree you're willing to pay for something, tells me how much you love it. Now, I know Michelle and I, I grew up with four brothers. So listen, I have absolutely no idea about design or anything, as you can tell. But I remember when Michelle, the first time I heard of something called a Dooney and Burke. Oh, I love Dooney and Burke purses. And then, is that the one with the duck on it? If I put a duck on a purse, you'd all think I was crazy. But a designer does it. They throw a duck on a purse. And I said, well, would you like to get one? She said, oh, honey, I couldn't get one of those. I said, well, it's a purse. And back then, I mean, you know, we were, if air costs money, we'd die. So I said, well, how much one of those purses cost? Like $500. It's a stupid purse. I said, does it scratch your back? And you can go to a store and you can buy a purse. I mean, a stinking purse to stick stuff in and spend $1,000, $2,000. There are people doing it all the time. I don't quite understand it. But the fact of it is, people pay for what they love. Anybody have some kids? How many spent some money on some people that you love? You see, your value is determined by what someone's willing to pay for. Jesus redeemed us with his very own life. You know, I remember when the church just began, we were a couple years old, and Michelle said, you know, honey, we really need to do something for single moms. And God's really put it in my heart that because the desire of from what we believe God put in our heart as a church from day one is that this would be a place for people. It's a come as you are church. That if you're hurting, you come here. If you're broken, you come here. You're not going to get judged. You're not going to get pushed away. We're not here to see through you. We're here to see you through. And she said, you know, honey, that's really in my heart that we do something and help single moms. Now, you have to remember our church is just beginning. It really started with just Michelle and I and our son, Ryan, who was 9 months old. We didn't have anything. We didn't have any equipment. Everything started with nothing. And I mean, when I say nothing, guys, I mean nothing. So every initiative we attempted to do, there was never any money for it. And plus, you know, the church had started to grow and we're trying to get all the equipment you need to have. And so she said, honey, these are the things I think we could do to really bless single moms. And I remember saying to her, Shel, this right now we can't do that. There's just, you know, more month than there is money in the church. And you see, she grew up in a single parent home. She grew up having been abandoned by her father. She grew up watching her mother go under enormous strain and sorrow, having been thrown into what would otherwise not have been, but thrown into poverty because of an absent man. It changed the way she saw herself. It changed the way she saw life. When her mom would go to the grocery store and have to use food stamps, she would hide. When she'd be pulling up in the beat up car, she'd ask her mom to let her out a little bit further away from where other kids were. When other kids were talking about Christmas gifts, she made hers up. She remembered the pain of what it felt like to be a kid in a home. Now, thank God her mom went after God with all of her heart. Thank God that her mom let Jesus work inside of a broken situation and bring restoration to her children. Let me tell you, at the time, she remembers the sorrow her mom went through. She remembers what it was like having a grandmother who had nothing either, but who poured her life into them and made a difference. And she said, we are not going to be a church that just shows up and has weekend services. We're going to help people. I said, well, honey, we don't have the money for it right now. And so what she did was she sold her wedding ring and got the money for it and came to me with cash. Send me the stack of it and said, here, let's do this ministry. I said, well, but you sold your wedding ring? I said, yeah, I gave you that. But the point I'm making to you is this. I remember, I'll never forget it. She looked at me, she said, here are her words. Honey, these are people. That's just a silly ring. It's just a band of gold and a rock. Came out of the dirt. These are people. In other words, what she said is the people that we desire to reach are more important to me than this thing. And so she was willing to redeem the ring to redeem people. See, that's how you're giving makes a difference in people's lives. Is that it literally is going into specific areas of ministry to help people. And I think of many of those ladies today, and I wonder where they'd be today if their lives weren't reached out to. I wonder where many of their children would be today if there wasn't a net to do our best to just serve them the best we could at that time. And now with small groups launching as they are, you're going to see small groups. They're going to be developing specific to ministering to single parents as well. And I'll tell you, there's some great days ahead for this church in helping people. But you see, you redeem only what you love. And that's what Jesus came to do. But he came as a man. Now, notice here in the scripture we read in 1 Timothy. The scripture said in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it isn't just giving your life to Jesus and getting saved. And what does that mean? That means Christ coming into your life, not God taking an eraser and just erasing your sins. Listen, when you give your life to Jesus, you become a brand new creation. You become a new creation being. Your inward man is born again with the very life and the very nature of Almighty God. You become a partaker of divine nature, the Bible says. You become a child of the living God. You no longer are a servant in the field, but you've been brought into the house as a son and a daughter of God. That's what it means to be saved. But he didn't just stop there. He said, it's not the will of God just that all men be saved, which it is. Then he said, and, now listen to this, and that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. I have to tell you that Michelle and I, from the day this church started, there's a desperation in us that you come to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God in everyday life issues. What does God's Word say about the way you live your life as a husband, the way you live your life as a wife? How does it talk to you about parenting? When you become skillful in the Word of God, when you begin to govern your life by what God has said, when you learn to become, when you truly come to the knowledge of the truth, I'll tell you guys, it will change everything in your world, because Jesus said it is the truth that does what? Makes you free. How many of you know Jesus came for freedom? He came to make you free. He said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. That's what he came to do. He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but that through me the world might have life. That's why I don't hesitate to say this to you. If this is your church and you come here, I don't know how to do it other than to ask you. I can't compel you. If I could, I would, simply because I know the benefit is to go through the growth track. This tonight at 5:30, the doors open. 5:45 or so, I believe they'll start serving the food. 101 is tonight. The 101, 201, 301, 401. First, second, third, fourth Sunday night of every month. It's predictable. You don't even have to take them in order. 101 is church membership. It's finding out what this, it's a kick the tires event. Is this a church for me? And I can't encourage you enough, but if you haven't been to it yet, even if you're a member here at Victory, I'd encourage you to come. And make sure you go through the growth track. Go through the 201, the essentials of the faith, the 301, discovering your gifts, the 401, finding your place to serve. See, it's my hope that we always are taking you to the next step in your walk with God. Most people see their walk with God as a leap. Well, I'll go from here and they'll leap 50 feet. No, God, the Bible says, blesses our steps. And sometimes what we're looking for is these massive changes in our life. But these massive changes happen step by step. So let me tell you, if you've not yet gone through the growth track, start tonight and go to the 101. So I won't be able to make 201 or 301 this month. Don't worry about it. Do it the next month. But take this step when it's in front of you. So many dear people miss out because when the opportunity is in front of them for them to step into the grace of God, they hesitate. Get involved. Get involved in a small group. They're available online now. Say, well, I'm praying about it. Don't pray about it. There is value in this. Go do it. There's semesters. They begin and they end. So if you get with some people you don't like, you never have to see them again. No, really. And some of them are activity related. There'll be groups about running, and there'll be, as this evolves, there'll be eventually in the next 2 years of this church, as we run these three semesters a year, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of groups to choose from. Some of you actually need to be a leader in some of these groups. We can talk about that later. But guys, listen, every person needs to be in a small group. And in that small group, there'll be a leader that will be there. And even if it's something about, even if you're running, they're going to be invested in your spiritual life. There's going to be small groups that are spiritually focused as well. And they have a beginning and an end. And many of them will be very close to where you live, as we're going to literally spread out all over the region. There are over 30 plus school districts represented in this congregation. So I really want to encourage you, get in a small group. They launch here soon and they're available online right now. This Wednesday night is First Wednesday. See, these are all things about your spiritual life, not just being saved, but coming to the knowledge of the truth. These are critical things. First Wednesday is when you come and we come together. We'll have communion together. There'll be water baptism. But this First Wednesday, the focus is on the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Every Christian needs to be full of God, the Holy Spirit. Every Christian needs to know what it means to walk with the Holy Spirit of God. What an honor, what a privilege that the Spirit of the living God wants to not only abide in you, but the Bible said He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to fill you with His person to overflowing. And we're going to talk about that on the First Wednesday and pray for people who want to be filled with the precious Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know if I'm ready. No. Never say I'm not ready for God. Say I'm not ready for the devil. Say I'm not ready for stupid. Don't ever. It's like saying, are you ready for a piece of pie or are you ready for a piece of poison? Say, well, I just have to pray about that. Go for the pie. So, Pastor John, pie is poison. Shut up. Mind your business. And then impartation's coming. It's a yearly conference we do. It's coming here, I think the 16th. Is that a Saturday all the way through that Wednesday? And Ed Elliott will be here on the weekend and in the morning services. And every night, Keith Moore will be here. And I'm encouraging you, that's 2 weekends from now, particularly on the Monday night, I want us to come out in full force as a church. And I want us to think that's the first night Keith Moore will be here. How many of y'all would do like the 10 lepers, the one that came back and gave thanks? You remember 10 were healed, one came back to give thanks. I'd like us to show up in full force that Monday night so that when I say, would you all please thank Keith Moore for the $1 million gift to help us get into this building? How many of you are willing to do that? Learn to be a thankful person. Guys, these are things that you can do as a Christian. That's why Jesus came, to save you. Now listen, and to bring you to the knowledge of the truth. You don't have to live the way you're living anymore. You don't have to live in the sorrow, in the depths of the trail of sorrow that may have been given to you like an inheritance from your family. You don't have to stay broken in your marriage. You don't have to stay broken if your marriage has failed. I'm telling you, there is a path into the power and the presence of God and the goodness of God and the restoration of Jesus. And it is simply by learning who Jesus is and how desperately He loves you and wants to help you. In Hebrews chapter 4, listen to the kind of God that we serve. Listen to who Jesus is. The scripture says this regarding Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Think of it. The Bible says that Jesus not only is the Lamb of God, but He was the high priest that offered His own blood. And the Bible said He's not one that cannot sympathize with your weakness. See, God became flesh so He could feel what you feel. So that literally it said He sympathizes with your weakness. And listen to this. And as Jesus was tempted in all points and in all manner, listen now, just like you are. So He knows what it feels like to be tempted. Yet the Bible said He never sinned. Now, many people will get religious and say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. He could never have failed. Well, if Jesus never could have failed, then the Bible is fraudulent. Because it is impossible to tempt somebody who cannot fail. The Bible said Jesus was tempted. Now, if there wasn't something in Him that could have succumbed to the temptation, then that's a fraud. He could have failed. But He didn't. He passed the test. The test that I couldn't pass and the test that you couldn't pass. And He did so that He could pay the debt that none of us could pay. And God spoke prophetically some 700 years through the prophet Isaiah about how He would bring Messiah into the world. He came in the most innocent manner possible. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, and then the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Could God do anything more innocent, anything more normal than to bring his son into the earth as a baby? Just think of people changed his diapers. He ran around and learned to walk and fall like any toddler. See, people think Jesus was like Superman. You know, he was born and stood up and said, "Hallelujah!" It's not what he did. He was a baby. He was innocent and he was helpless. And God came in the form of man. Now, why did he have to come? Listen to what Hebrews says, chapter 10 and verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." Sacrifice and offering, he said, you didn't desire, but a body. What does that mean? God said the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and of goats and a cow and a pigeon and a turtle dove. Those animal sacrifices, he said, I never desired. But I would put myself in flesh and I will prepare a body for me to inhabit so that I can be the final sacrifice. So that I can be not only the high priest of your life, but I can be the very Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus as he was in the River Jordan baptizing, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who will bear the sin of the whole world." He was born to die. He was being prepared to be the Lamb of God, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. That's why Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says this: "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood. He entered into the most holy place for us all, having obtained eternal redemption." Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that the Son of God spilled his very own blood for you and for me to obtain an eternal redemption for all of us? He redeemed you because he valued you. Oh, how life can devalue people. How circumstances and heartache can drop you to your knees. And you'll begin to feel about yourself and say about yourself the way your circumstances of your life have presented to you. And Jesus wants to rescue every one of us from that life. And he came to redeem you. And he didn't do it. God didn't redeem you with silver or gold or the blood of animals, but the blood of his son. Now, every person we studied in this series was a type of Jesus. In other words, you could see a picture of what Jesus would do. They were redeemers who would point to a redeemer. We started with Moses. You remember he was the deliverer of a nation of slaves from the bondage of Egypt. But Jesus was not just one who would deliver slaves. He would be the deliverer of all of mankind. He would pay the sin debt that none of us could ever pay. He would offer up his very own life and he would deliver an entire humanity from the bondage of sin and from the destiny of going to hell. Dear one, there is a heaven, and dear one, there is a hell. And Jesus died to pay the debt because of the great love of God, so that men and women don't have to go to that prison house of suffering, but they can go to be with God forever by receiving the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's what I tell you as a pastor. We will move heaven and earth and do everything we know to do to present the gospel to our generation without apology and without fear, because Jesus died for people. We saw Moses and then we saw David. David was the king of Israel. Jesus, the Bible said, is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And you know what, in turn, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, do you know now the Bible says about you in Revelation that you have been made a king and a priest to your God, and you were called to reign in life by one Christ Jesus, not just to get reigned on, but to reign and to rule in life. You were called to be an overcomer. Say it out loud. I'm an overcomer. You were called to be an overcomer. Daniel was a man incredibly devoted to God. But Jesus turned that around and he showed that God had a devotion to man. Oh, think of the devotion of the Son of God. How God, as Philippians talks about, stripped himself of all of his glory and robed himself in flesh and became a part of His creation. To suffer the humiliation alone of becoming your creation, of becoming one of them, and then to suffer at their hands, to be mocked, to be crucified, to be stripped naked, and to be executed in a public way when you've done no wrong. You talk about devotion. Don't you ever think about your devotion to God until you first begin to understand God's devotion to you. That's the story of Jesus. God devoted to man. My salvation is just me responding to His devotion to me. We talked about Ruth, who was a loyal woman. What an amazing life she lived. And then you see Jesus, and He was a loyal Savior. You see, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and everything in Him wanted to walk away from this, He cried out three times, "Oh, Father, if there's any other way to redeem mankind, let this cup pass from me." And He wasn't talking about being crucified. He was talking about taking the sin of the world upon Himself, that He Himself would be forsaken of God as He bore the penalty and the judgment that was due me. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, He became loyal to you and to me. That's why Isaiah prophesied and said that He would set His face like a stone toward His goal in flint. He would not be moved. He remained loyal to His devotion to you and to me. Samson was a conquering judge, and thank God Jesus is a conquering king. He overcame all the works of darkness. He said, "I've come to destroy the works of the devil." And He was successful. The Bible said He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly and triumphed over them in His death, burial, and resurrection. Aren't you glad you have a Savior who is a redeeming God, who's a conquering king? Aren't you thrilled? Thank God for His mercy. He is so good. And Mary, we studied her life. She received the impossible. She received a child as a virgin. But Jesus came and He did the impossible. And then He made the impossible available to you and me, because the Scripture declares all things are possible to those that believe. Then last week, Pastor Steve shared about Abraham. And I tease him a lot, but he is a blessing, isn't he? Praise God. Don't you love Pastor Steve? He's a good man. He's a very good man, particularly when he's asleep. He's outstanding. Abraham brought us a covenant that carried a promise in it. But Jesus brought an eternal covenant of righteousness. One, Abraham showed us the promise. Jesus fulfilled it. And He brought us a covenant that literally would bring you right standing with God. That when you made Christ the Lord of your life, you became righteous in God's sight. That your sins and iniquities, He said, I will remember no more. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Your sins and your iniquities, God said, I will remember no more. Your past is meant to be your past. You are to leave it behind you in the blood of Jesus. You are to wake up today. You are to leave this place, leaving yesterday where it belongs, and starting fresh and new. And as the Scripture said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the prize for the call of God upon your life in Christ Jesus. You are meant to abound in life. You are meant to be an overcomer. You are meant to be more than a conqueror. That's who you are. And when we come in this place, that's what we're here to do. To fire you up and send you into the mission field of your life. To help you see the mirror of God's Word of who you are. A young lady in our church, Casey Dixon, wrote a poem I'm going to read to you. And then you're going to see some of the things behind me happen. That's Casey way out here in a minute. And I want to read a poem that she wrote. And it's the culmination of this entire series. And it reveals Christ in all the people that we've highlighted in this series. And so the title of the poem is "So God Sent a Savior." So throughout this poem, I'm going to stop and say, "So God," and I want you to say, "Sent a Savior." So let's try it. So God. Oh, you're awesome. Try it one more time. So God. All right, let's get at it. In the beginning, when God created man, He made perfection. And in loving His creation, He fashioned them as mirrors to reflect His image and glory. But man chose to bow a knee to greed and bought into a counterfeit story. Shattered by the sad exchange of life or death, His precious creation was lost in sin. His heart was broken in desire to redeem and bring them back again. So God. And God said, "I need a deliverer, a man to deliver my children out of bondage, to stand confidently before the enemy and profess that I am has sent him and declare freedom, to be more than a prince of Egypt, but a prince of peace. God said, I need a liberator to break down every wall, every chain, and every evil thing that has kept my children enslaved, to set my captive children free by taking their oppression and depression and nailing it to a tree. God said, I need a man who, when the enemy is closing in, sees dry ground clear through a sea of fear, who won't just stretch out a staff, but reach out with nail-pierced hands. So God. And God said, I need a just king. A man who comes from humble beginnings. A strong shepherd who will guard and guide my sheep. And to chase down the one who has run away or gone astray. God said, when the cowards around him have been stricken with fear and are caught trembling in their tracks, I need a man steady on his feet who refuses to give fear room or even a chance. I need a warrior with a heart after mine to swiftly take down every giant in his way, to reply boldly that my kingdom is everlasting and here to stay. God said, I need a man to be king of kings and lord of all, to wear more than an earthly crown, but one of bloody thorns for all those who fall. So God. And God said, I need an overcomer, a man who declares my excellency in the face of persecution, someone dedicated to my call, who refuses to pray to anyone but me, and will pray passionate prayers and sweat blood in the gardens of Gethsemane. And God said, when the enemy appears powerful and ferocious, this man will know that nothing can stand against my love and devotion. I need a man to walk in my favor and bring life to the dreams of my children, to shut the mouth of every enemy and make even the fiercest of lions appear cowardly. God said, I need a man who won't be timid or feeble, but of compelling character and integrity, to put my dedication on display for all to see and to turn even the hardest heathen hearts back to me. So God. And God said, I need a redeemer, a man who in this wicked world will change my children's direction and go against the grain. A strong man who is willing to stand up for and reclaim my children's name. I'm sending a man who never needs, but always offers a second chance. Someone who lets the past be the past and prove to my children that it cannot and should not hold them back. God said, I need a man to tell them that the blood coursing through their veins is royalty, that they are not inferior or insignificant, but crowned with worth and dignity, that they are loved with an eternal love, no matter the mess they're in, to show them that they don't have to live off corner field scraps or stand to the side, and show them that my love and grace are just as deep as they are wide. And God said, I need a man who will turn the most awful of situations around and accept all those who are humbled at his feet. This man will follow me no matter the price and pay the steepest of costs so that my children no longer have to live defeated, broken, or lost. So God. And God said, I need a warrior, a man who won't be seduced or allured into life of comfort by the enemy's charming schemes or devices, to show that my ways will always be the wisest of choices. Someone who will be tempted in all ways, but never sin, strong enough to conquer death in one fatal win, a man of sheer brawn, resilience and power found in me, his life to declare that I am bigger, better planned than any can see. God said, I need a man who won't be defined by the length of his hair, but will be renowned for the veil that he comes to tear. I need someone to show that mercy is needed for even the strongest of man, that walking by faith and having no sight go hand in hand. Someone to show my children that they won't war with blood or flesh, but in him they are more than conquerors, always triumph and are victorious. And God said, I need someone hardy enough to lift the heaviest of hearts, to tear down the children's pillars and give them a new start. Someone to provide all their needs when they thirst and hunger, who in their weakness will be strong and in their strengths be stronger. I'm sending someone to remind them that they cannot walk in their purpose without walking with me, and that this man's sacrifice is the only one that can truly make them free. So God. And God said, I need a perfect son, a man who will come to bring life abundantly, who will affirm that my ways are to be honored because they are filled with favor for those who faithfully follow me. This man won't deny, but overcome reality, whose unfailing response will always be it unto me. And God said, I need him to have a deeper understanding of what it means to see amazing things happen through miraculous and impossible, to show that my love can never change, for that means it could be better, but reveal that my constant love and tender mercies are the same yesterday, today, and forever. when people are gossiping and gasping because they are trusting lies. This man will be the way, the truth, and the life for all those who believe. And his response will be, no one comes to the Father except through me. This man will repeatedly rejoice in my rewarding will. Who will show my children when to speak, when to listen and be still. He will expect me to always mightily move. But knowing my plans are perfect, refuse to limit the way I desire or choose. So God said, I need a man of perfect faith. Someone who takes situations that appear impossible and uses them to recreate new beginnings and miracles. I need a man who will never put a due date on a due season. To show my children that they can't learn or rely on their own knowledge or reason. God said, I need a man who shows them that they can't force my will or plans. And if it doesn't come quickly as wanted, to patiently wait and not take matters into their own hands. Someone whose faith never wavers and will never turn back. This man will redeem my descendants, as many as there are as the stars in the sky, to be my perfect lamb and the ultimate sacrifice. God said, while others are off making childish offerings to appease their idols and false gods, I need someone to show that I am not like them. I will show up, I will show off, even against all odds. Because of the love I have for the world, I will present this man as perfect, and to them I will freely give. By that altar of the cross alone, dry bones can once again live. So God, now hang in there, guys. We're coming right now to the grand finale. Aren't you glad he sent a Savior? Hallelujah. And so God said, I need a man who takes resurrection to a whole new level, who when his name is spoken will cause darkness and fear to tremble. I need a man to be countercultural, to awake the souls of many generations that have been lulled to sleep by deliberate desensitization of darkness, who will be rejected but never reject, who will always love and never relent. God said, I need a man who will once and for all overcome the world and all that it holds dear, who will bring in the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind instead of fear. He will be the manifestation of my word in the flesh, who will be preceded by many professions of prophets, and his way will be prepared. His sole purpose for living will be so that my children are spared. His yoke will be easy, and his burden will be light. And because of him, my children can once again be seen as perfect and blameless in my sight. He will come to affirm and not condemn. He will be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He will have all authority over every power and principality. I need a man who will hang on the altar of a cross to bear it all in my children's place, who will pour out for them an overflowing abundance of grace. And the sound of the nails piercing his hands and feet will echo so loud and clear for all to see and hear. The thorns on his head will run with red. He will take lashings, beatings, a spear in his side, but all to prove that he is their anchor, strong tower for in which they abide. He will call all the shots. He will call things that aren't as though they are. He will call my children healed, and the proof will be his every scar. On his beaten and bloody back, he will carry all their iniquity, their guilt and shame. And his blood, as it empties out, he will wash away their infirmity, disease, and blame. He won't just be somebody or someone, but he will be the one. He will be seated at my right hand and will seat my children in higher places. He will give them a higher altitude on all their situations. All of heaven will come to attention at the very mention of his name. For he alone will be the redeemer of all humanity and receive all the glory, the honor, and the fame. He will be their deliverer, the bread of life, the only true light, the cornerstone, creator, counselor, mighty Messiah, bright morning star, the root of David, the rock of their foundation, the almighty advocate, the horn of their salvation, the lion of the tribe of Judah, sinless, spotless lamb, known as the Son of Man, the Son of the Great I Am. God said, I'm sending a Savior. His name is Jesus. Stand up. Worship God. Let's worship Him.
You are the one. worship you. We magnify you, Father. Oh, we lift our voice to you. Let's worship him. Worship him. Sing it again. Let's worship him. We worship you, Lord. Worship you. Sing it and worship him. Thank you for your great grace in our life. Father, we worship you. Oh, isn't it good to worship him? Awesome. Praise God. You can be seated. Lord, thank you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please, if you remain seated, there's so much that God wants to do right now in this place. He did so much in our hearts this morning to get you to see, to get me to see. We serve a Redeemer. We serve a living God. We serve a faithful God. We serve a holy God. But He came for the purpose of redeeming mankind. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you've been to church, if you're a good person. All those things are fine and good. I'm not asking you if you've received the sacrament of a church. You see, no sacrament of any church can make you right with God. That includes this church. No membership of any church can make you right with God, including this church. No pastor, no priest, no religious leader, including this pastor, can make you right with God. Only by bowing your knee to the one who stretched out his arms and died for you can you receive eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." It's not because of his teachings, which were awesome, but it's because of the sacrifice that he paid. It's because of the blood that he spilled to make people like you and me right with God. If you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, if you were to leave this place today and your life on earth were to end, if your heart is beating in your chest this morning, simply were to stop, where will you spend forever? Because there is a forever on the other side of this life. Jesus said there is a heaven, and Jesus said there is a hell, and he paid an awful price so that people like you and me could have the free gift of eternal life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say to me, "Pastor John, I don't know that I've ever given my life to Christ. I don't know that I've ever given my life to the one who gave his life for me." With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. And I'll do it right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You'd say, "Pastor, would you please include me in a prayer? I want to pray to invite Jesus into my life. I want to pray to make him the Lord and the Savior of my life." So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, "Pastor John, please include me in that prayer," right where you're seated, I'll pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you say, "Pastor, please pray for me," would you lift your hand right now, right where you're seated, and I'll do it right where you're seated. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, "Pastor, please include me as well." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. See, "I have not yet raised my hand, Pastor, but include me." Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you, sir. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. You say, "Please include me with those that have raised their hand. I've not yet done so. I want Christ in my life." Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. It's the best decision of your life to come to a living Savior and to walk with him in everyday life. If you raised your hand or should have,
Pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. We'll pray it together with you. Jesus will come into your life. He will make you brand new. And your yesterday will be your yesterday. And your sins and your iniquity, He will remember no more. Pray this out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank You for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give Him a hand, would you? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.